Here I am Matteo Collura, the first one of the two Matteo. We share the same first name. And he is Matteo Beccaro. And we are presenting this talk to show you how to build a safe NFC validating system. So, who we are? As I told you before, I'm Matteo Collura. Here you can find all the details about my name, my Twitter, and the same as him. So, Matteo Beccaro, his nickname, Twitter, email. We are both students, and we are I'm studying electronic engineering at the Polytechnic of Turin. I don't know if someone of you knows. And he's studying computer engineering. But he's employee too at a secure network that is a security company. And don't ask me anything about the numbers after my eagle. So what are we dealing with today? MIFARE ultralight tags. What are those tags? They are designed to work at a target frequency of 13.56 megahertz, and they are designed by NXP Semiconductors. As you can see, there is the logo on the bottom of the slide. And we are also using an NFC shield by Adafruit, because later we will show you a test using those shield, because it is our stamping machine. So, I will show you some facts and figures about MIFARE ultralight. How is it composed, for example? This is the structure of MIFARE ultralight tag. It is an EEPROM memory of 512 bits, so 64 bytes, and they are arranged in 16 pages. And here, we will look more in detail, and as you can see, the first block of 10 bytes is of the first seven are a number called serial number, and there is another byte called internal. The internal is something like a constant, and it depends on the NXP manufacturer. While the serial number is something that makes unique each tag. So each MIFARE ultralight tag has its own UID number. And there are two check bytes that they are a result of XOR operation, but it is not so important. So they are programmed by the manufacturer, and they are read-only. So you can't actually change that field. Then, after this section, there is a very important section that is the lock byte. They are just two bytes. And as you can see, each square is a single bit. And those numbers stand for the number of the page of the whole ticket you can make read-only. So if you actually change, you turn one bit from 0 to 1 of those lock bytes, you can make a page of the whole ticket read-only. And as you can see, there are three squares, which they have a BL, and those are used for making read-only the lock bit itself. So we will see later how this could be important in case of a lock attack. Okay, the lock bytes can be edited as you want. Why that? Because if you are going to write something on those bytes, they are simply, what are you going to write is bitwise ORed. So if you have a bit already in state one, you can't turn back into zero. So if you lock a page, it will be locked forever. Then there is the most important sector, I think, in the whole ticket. That is the OTP. It is made of four bytes, and by default, they are set to zero, all set to zero. And it is the only security function in the MIFARE ultralight tags, as if you want to write on the OTP, it's something like the lock bytes. So you have to OR bitwise all the data you want to write. And just a note, it stands for one-time programmable, not one-time password. And in the transmutation system, It is used for storing the number of rights left. Why this? Because if you consider this section, and if you know that you can only, or the data you want to write on, you can actually only decrease the number of zeros of the bits in this section. So if it is by default, you have 4 bytes all set to zero. If you want to write data on it, you are actually decreasing the number of zeros, speaking about bits. And why it is useful for the multiple write ticket? Because you are decreasing, and so you can use it for storing a limited quantity on it. As you can see, the number of zero is decreasing while you're writing on it. Then we are looking to the section of data. Data is the widest sector. You can read and write on it as you want, if, of course, the pages are not locked. And so there are 12 pages, 48 bytes, where to write on. But where we can, as regards the transportation system application, you can find here, for example, the time of the last stamp, for example, the validation, the validator machine ID, or information about the bus line, the underground stop. They can be stored here because it is a readable and writable sector, so it stores a lot of information. So, some pros and cons of using MIFARY Ultralight tags. Of course, one of the pros is that it's cheap. And it is really cheap, so if you think about using for a transportation system, you have to buy a lot to make, for example, the multiple ride tickets and distribute to everyone. So if it is cheap, I will personally buy them. But the other point is the possibility of creating limited tickets. So if I want to make a 15 rides ticket, it expires after 15 rides because the rights are stored in the OTP, and so, as I told you before, when you turn all the bits to one, it is you can't do anything more, and so your ticket is expired. And so it is good for a transportation system. But why? The cons: there is no hardened encryption, so you have to implement a system if you want to make some encryption to encrypt your data. And another con is that it is not well implemented, usually, on public transportation system. So it could be vulnerable to one of those attacks, the reset attack, lock attack, time attack, or replay attack. And I will explain you now. So what about those kind of vulnerabilities? First one, the reset attack. It was published in 2011 and exploited in San Francisco, and it works if the rights are stored in the data sector. So they are not stored in the OTP sector, the one I was telling you before, but in the data sector, the one which is readable and writable as you prefer, let's say. So how to proceed? Just dump a fresh ticket, then when it is expired, you just write the previous dump on your ticket. The data sector is writable, so you can actually write the same number of writes you have when it was new and fresh, and so just have fun with your stored ticket. So it is very easy. But it is hardly applicable, as it is a very well-known exploit, theoretically speaking. And so it is very simple, this exploit. This one, the lock attack, it has been published in 2013, so this year. And it works fine if the stamp machine does not check the lock bit of the OTP. So if the writes are stored in the OTP sector, you just have to turn the bit of read-only of the OTP from 0 to 1 and make it read-only. So the stamping machine just tries to stamp it, but it fails. And so you have the same number of rides left. So have fun with your tickets for life. And so this is a quick summary. The stamp machine checks if the the ticket has been stamped, I don't know, let's say 90 minutes ago or 100. It depends on the transportation system. Then, if no, the ticket is still valid. Well, yes, so it is older than that minutes. And so that machine tries to stamp the ticket. It checks if there are rights left. No, your ticket is useless, okay. Yes, okay, there are rights left, let's stamp it. But it writes the timestamp, it writes other stuff, and when it tries to validate and write the new number of rights, fail. So there is no feedback way, and the machine does not know if it has stamped the ticket or not, and so you win. But do not forget to take one ride off, because if you have a multiple ride ticket with five rides, you have to take one off before doing this procedure, because it's not a good idea to have a five rides ticket and still five rides left. So there is something missing. So do not forget this passage. Okay, and this is the time attack still in this year. And assume you know where the time of the last stamp is stored, and this timestamp is not encrypted. So you know it is in the data sector, and the data sector is readable and writable. So if you know how to write the data in that sector, you can just write by yourself the actual time in the same way. And so you can validate your ticket without touching the number of ride left. It doesn't change, and so you are doing the stamp machine work. So you have a ticket, you can stamp whenever you want. And this is very good, and you have always a validated ticket. The last attack, just a theoretic concept because we never applied it, but assume that the timestamp is encrypted. And they are used non-univocal parameters, so everything that is not unique for the ticket, just a key, for example, for encrypt your ticket. For example, just use the AES with the timestamp and using a key, you know. The point is that you can replay the encrypted timestamp on several tickets. So if there are four people taking that bus, you can just stamp one and share the result with the other tickets. And it will still be valid for the all four tickets. So it could be an attack if you don't use univocal parameters for the tickets. So let's come to the conclusion and of this theoretical part. And so you have to fix those vulnerabilities and fix the reset attack. So rights must not be stored in data sector, as they could be vulnerable for reset attack. Then you have to check the state of the lock bit of the OTP in case not to fall in the lock attack case. So to avoid it, you have to check if the lock bit state of the OTP is 1 of 0. Then to fix the time attack, you have to encrypt, of course, the timestamp. And to fix the replay attack, you have to use univocal ticket detail, for example, the UID that is univocal for each ticket. And so then he will go on and explain you the sample lib.
Hello. Okay. We also create a sample lib with the which fix all the vulnerabilities which we find in this year. There are a lot of vulnerabilities this year. Okay, the sample lib, it's just a simple sample lib. That means that it's not final. Each vendor should modify it and use for his own system, because it's very simple. Okay, these are the functions which you can find in the sample lib. There is the encrypt, I use AES. The valid or not, which just checks if the ticket is still valid or not. OTP checks, it checks only the OTP sector is readable and writable or only read only. The power function is a power function. The one in math, didn't like it. Rides check, check the number of rides left on the ticket, and remove rides, remove the rides. Okay, these are the basic function for every secure ticket ticketing system, because and they are not enough. You will see this later. It's not, yes. This late, okay. The encrypt eyes function, it just requires a result array in which will be written the timestamp encrypted. I use the Unix timestamp divided by 60 to get the minutes, because usually you have like 90, 100 minutes of validity for each ticket when you stamp it. The encryption is AES128, just some Bitcoin from Silk Road. Yes, by default there is a very strong key for encryption. You can't change it. No, yes, a joke. You can change it. And we use also the UED to prevent replay attack. So we just encrypt the timestamp plus the UED with the strong key of 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so on. Valid or not, it reads the sector from the ticket and check if it's under 100 minutes. This is just a number, you can change it as you prefer. It used the same function of before, so AES128. OTP check. OTP check is a fundamental function, because the lock attack is very, very useful in almost all cities I found. There was a lock attack in Turin, if you watch our talk at DEF CON. There is a lock attack in Florence, I think, and also in several other cities in the US. I didn't check in Germany. Try. Okay, just check if the OTP lock bit is set to 1. If it's so, it returns 0. If it's set to 0, it returns 1. This is just the sample function. This is double. I don't know why. Okay, yes, in the sample lib, I just use the half size of the OTP sector, so just 2 bytes. So you can have maximum 16 writes per ticket. You can easily change it to get 32 writes. Depends on your needed. Remove writes. Remove writes, just change the OTP sector from 0 to 1. It means that if you have 16 writes, you can have 15, just turning 1 0 to 1. Then it will check the number of zero left to see the number of writes left. Okay, you need to use the OTP function check, because it's not included in the move writes. So use both. Yes, that's the image of before. That means if you have five rights ticket, you have always 5 rights. Then if they control your ticket, they see, okay, it's stamped, but you have 5 rights. That's not good. That's happened. Okay, why it's not really, really secure, this lib? There is some problems with NFC in general and ultralight. All the security features are on the ticket, so you relay all the trust on the client. That's usually not so good. RFID frequency could be jammed, so you can stop all the validation of your bus or whatever you want. And for company, you can't have statistics or something very useful for marketing and blah, blah, blah. This could be enough secure for little transportation systems, so only bus or something like that, like in the little town like mine. But if you have a big transportation system like here in Hamburg or in Turin or Milan or whatever, you should use an online database. online database should be shared between all the stamping machines. Here, you should write the UID of stamped tickets, so you can check if someone used the ticket more than he should. The rides left for each ticket, so you always know how many rides are left on the ticket. You can blacklist UID tickets for hacker UID tickets or something like that. Update the encryption key for the stamping machine. So if someone stole you a stamping machine to reverse the firmware, you can update the key and say goodbye to this machine. And you have company stats, which are quite useful. Now, I show you a little example of sample lib using, this is just an Arduino one with Adafruit NFC shield. If you want to replicate our results, we will update the sample lib, the sketch of our Arduino, and also the Adafruit lib with some patch to work with the MIFAIR Ultralight, because it usually works only with the MIFAIR Classic. Don't use MIFAIR Classic. Okay. Just a second. I don't like Windows. How does it work? Jesus. Oh, okay. Arduino. Do you see? No. Now you see? No. A destra. Okay. Open. This means open. Let's try with the first example, which is on the pen drive. Should be this one. Oh shit. Okay. Yes, those ice-lib time and base 64, oh yes, the base 64 is just to encode the result of encryption. I would like to thank you, everybody who developed these libs, because I used them, and patch something. And I don't like to congratulate with the one who create mat.h. Bad libraries for Arduino. Okay, let's try. This is a blank MIFAIR Ultralight ticket, just both, I don't know, in China, I think. Yes. I hope that works. Yes. Big.
Okay.
If I throw it over, the ticket is still valid because I just stamped it before. Give me another ticket. I don't know. Just give me a ticket. Okay, this is our transport safety ticket. Don't look at it. I don't know if there are some rights left on it. It's still valid. Another ticket. It's still valid. Give me a blank ticket. Don't. Jesus.
Last minute issues.
Jesus. Just a second, please. What? I hate Windows. Oh.
Okay.
Let's try again. Okay.
Yes.
Now it works. As you can see, you just check if it is a MIFAIR Ultralight ticket, the number of rides left, remove a ride, and stamp the ticket. If you look at the function, first of all, Okay. This was okay. First of all, it checks if it's valid or not, theoretically. Then it checks the OTP, if the OTP is writable. If not, exit. Then check the number of writes left. If it is bigger than zero, it's gone. And then it removes write and encrypt the timestamp. Now just a final example to read what is written on the ticket. I hope so. I can't see anything. Okay, they just read all the pages on the ticket. As you can see, the OTP now is not 0000000, but is 0000800000. If you transform it in binary, there is 10000. Then there is the encrypted timestamp encoded in base 64 divided by 2 for performance stuff. And just one last thing, if you use an Arduino, you should have a clock, because Arduino doesn't have a real-time clock. If you unplug it and plug it again, it resets the timestamp. So that's the only problem with Arduino. And that's all. If you have any questions, oh yes. Just okay.
And so, if you appreciated our work, we love bitcoins, and donations are accepted. If you want to implement those libraries, and I don't know, you want to make a small donation, please.
Also, no donation. Lunch.
Yeah, it's the same.
Breakfast.
Everything is good. And
just let us know if you find any bugs, exploit, yeah. If you want to come to next CCC to exploit our lib, anything. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All righty, thank you very much, guys. Any questions from the audience or from the Signal Angel?
No.
One question, number one.
Yes, have you considered the threat of the Chinese clone cards, including the programmable UID?
Yes, there is some problem. That's why I called our lib enough secure. If you use an online database, you should avoid also this problem, because you have a UID list or of every ticket which are in whitelist. So if you have a random UID or a programmable UID, you can blacklist it and make it unusable. That's why it's enough secure. It's not completely secure.
Thank you.
There is also a project of a very nice guy called Timo something, I don't remember, which last year at CCC present an hardware called Chameleon, I think, which it's very useful to emulate tickets and change UID and everything you want. We want to meet him, if anyone know him, and ask about Mifair Ultralight support and something like that.
Any other question?
Okay, one final question.
You are decrypting with the same key every timestamp and UID pair, didn't you?
Sorry, can you repeat?
You are encrypting the UID and timestamp pair with the same key all over the time. So you have the same, you have different plain text de-encrypted with the same key. You
yes,
have no exactly. IV or something.
We use the same key every time. We just change timestamp. The UID is all the same. And that's why it's enough secure, because if you have an online database, you can update the keys. That's why I suggest that.
If you have, let's say, you use a card two times, and we did dump it every time, you have two ciphertext encrypted with the same key, which is a huge security problem.
Yes, you if you have, I don't understand that really the question. If you want, we can speak about it after the talk, because we are out of time.
All right, let's give him another warm round of applause. Thank you very much, guys.